Oh, nope, he said oops. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Happy Mother's Day to all your moms. Before we get into the message, I thought I'd just throw out a couple of funnies, okay? How many of you remember your first child? It's really interesting, your first child to your second child, and then as you go down the line. So let me give you a couple funnies. How many of you remember when that first child, before they're even born, you got all these clothes and you would wash them in this special detergent. Like it could not go in with the general laundry. You would wash it, you'd fold them, you'd put them in the drawer all nice and neat, all color coded. Then your second kid comes along and you're just going through the clothes and you're like, well, are there any stains in there? Let's just get rid of them if we can't. Second kid. Third kid comes along and you're thinking, you know, I think a boy can wear pink. What the heck, right? Big difference, first kids to the third kids. How about this? You know, sometimes that first child, we're uneasy. I hate to say worrisome, but that first child, if we think there's a frown on their face, we'd scoop that baby up. We would not let it cry, right? And then that second child comes along, and you're like, I'm not picking that baby up unless it's wailing and waking everybody else up, right? And then the third child comes and you train your firstborn how to wind the swing so to get that baby quiet. Big difference, right, when you have that first, second, and third. And here's one of my favorites, the pacifier, the binky, whatever you call it. And I know I did this. The first child, if that binky fell on the floor, I'd scoop that up, and I'd make sure I took it home and boiled it, you know, before I put that back in the baby's mouth. My second child came along. If that binky fell on the ground, I'd pick that up, and if my baby had a bottle, I'd just squirt some milk on it, baby bottle milk on it or juice, and then I'd stick it in that baby. My third child comes along. I think I really did this with a second. That thing fell on the floor. I'd pick it up, stick it in my mouth, and stick it in the baby. Let me tell you, you just kind of chill and relax when you have more kids. Let me see. What's another one I had written down here? How about... clothes, those clothes. After a while, you just didn't really care. So anyway, enough of funnies. Let's get into the Word of God. We're going to read this scripture, and then we're going to pray. So if you'd open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 12:9, we're going to start reading there. It's kind of like our key scripture that's just going to take us all through our message today. So y'all at 2 Corinthians 12:9. If you don't have a Bible, just jot it down. You can look it up later. Here we go. But he said to me, and this is the Apostle Paul who's writing, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest in you. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that you would just open up your word today to us, that we would see things that maybe we have not seen clearly, Father, and open up our hearts and our ears, Lord, that your word would just transform us, help us grow, help us do all the things you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but the Apostle Paul is going through a really difficult time in this scripture here. Anybody going through a difficult time? You're like, duh, Pastor D, this is COVID-19, right? Okay, so let me say it this way. How about you say to God, in your prayer, God, I have this problem and I want you to deal with it because look what's going on, okay? And I will tell you, I've had a lot of prayers like that. God, would you just deal with this? I can't do this, all right? But here's the thing. Paul had some people that were literally following him around every time he preached. And even if he'd go to the next town, this group of people would follow him and they would harass him. They were just coming at him, all right? Now, if you read this actually in context, he calls that a thorn in the flesh. Now, I know a lot of people have different ideas and interpretations of that, but you have to go back to first, okay? like the first time this is written in the Bible, this happens to come from the thorn in the flesh in the Old Testament. And when it's written, it's about people who were persecuting the Israelites. That's the first time I see that term, a thorn in the flesh, okay? Now, if you bring that back to where Paul is, okay, in the New Testament, it's just people doing the same thing, just coming after Paul, coming after Paul. So what do you do when people are coming after you? Like Paul, we go to God. So he goes to God and he says, God, I need you to take care of this. God, can you just take it away? And I tell you, I've prayed a few of those prayers. Anybody else? Okay. But listen how God answers him. And by the way, Paul prays this prayer like 3 different times. And God answers him and he says, hey, I want you to know my grace is sufficient for you. And I like this one translation for the word sufficient. It says, it's adequate. It's enough. So how many of you know that God's grace is sufficient? It's adequate. It's enough for whatever you're currently going through. That's God's grace, okay? So here we have Paul, and he goes to God, and he says, hey, God, take it away. Take it away. So today, what I want to do is I want to talk about God's grace is enough. It's sufficient. It's adequate for whatever you're going through. No matter what you find yourself in, God's grace will help you through. So we're going to talk about this grace. Now, today's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day again. And if you're a mom, God's grace can help you raise your kids, all right? And you might be like, man, God, I got a lot of stuff going on. Well, I want you to know God's grace is sufficient. It's adequate. It's enough to help you through your stuff. Praise God. Now, what I love about that scripture, not only did Paul say God's grace is sufficient, adequate and enough, he says, my power is made perfect in your weakness. Now, if you have a Bible, what we call a red letter Bible, this is a quote. This is red letter. That means Jesus is actually speaking. So Jesus speaks this to Paul and he says, hey, my power, my strength, my ability, it's in its best position when you literally are going through stuff. Praise God. So it's like, God, I can't do this. God, I need your help. And that's when God's grace comes in and operates in your life. That's what happens. Praise God. Now, I also like that part where he says, it's made perfect. My power is made perfect. Perfect. Now, I don't know about you, but I have had some times when I felt like, God, I need some help. This situation has blown up. This is bigger than whatever, and I'm going through something, and I need your help. And this is what God is saying. He's saying, hey, listen, if you believe, if you trust in me, my grace is sufficient and adequate and enough for my power to be made perfect in your weakness. So perfect there also means complete. Perfect awful means complete, okay? So I don't care whoever you are, moms, whoever, he's saying my power will be made perfect in your weakness. I think that's pretty cool, okay? Now, I have to be honest. Some days I don't feel that, but he's saying that's what's going to happen. It's going to happen regardless, but you have to believe that, all right? Now, since it's Mother's Day, I want us to look at the life of Jesus's mom, Mary, right? And some of the things that she went through while she was raising Jesus, okay? Now, how many of you know you need some grace? You need some grace in your life. And that reminded me when I thought a lot about that. Years ago, I had gone to a minister's meeting, a conference, and it was held at a church on the other end of town. And afterwards, they had lunch for us. And I'm sitting at a table of some ladies, and the guys are over here just hanging out. And one particular lady at the table, her name is Britta Alam, and she is the wife of Christopher Alam. Christopher is an evangelist. He does huge, massive crusades overseas in Africa, India, gosh, Brazil, he's just all over the place, okay? And so this one lady found out who Brenda was and her husband, and she goes, oh my gosh, how do you do it? Christopher's away all the time. And he is. He's probably away 50 weeks of the year, okay? And this lady said, oh my gosh, this must be so hard. And I remember to this day Brenda's answer. She said, I am graced to be Christopher's wife. And now, it probably went over my head the first time, but it stuck to me afterwards. I am graced to be Christopher's wife. And how many of you know you are graced to have your kids? You are graced to have your husband. You are graced to have your wife. You are graced to be in whatever situation you are right now. God graces you for it. So everybody just say, lift your hands up and say, I am graced for it. Okay? And grace simply means that he has given you help. God has given you strength, his ability to deal with whatever situation you are in your life right now. That's grace. Praise God. I love grace. Now, how many of you know that when grace is absent, or better yet, when grace seems absent, that's when things look really difficult? That's when things look really difficult, okay? And that's what was happening to Mary. All right, so if you open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, you know, most of you know this. This is usually what we read at Christmas time, the Christmas story. But there's some really cool things going on here. So Luke chapter 1, you can just read along with me, verses 26 to 29. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. And it goes like this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Now listen to verse 29. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Okay? So if you're taking notes, just write this down and we'll expound on it. Without grace empowering you, God's plan for your life can look confusing and even disturbing, all right? So without God's grace, there are times that you look at the situation, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, this seems impossible, okay? This is disturbing. This is what God wants me to do? Oh my gosh, all right? So has that ever happened to you? So let me toss this out. Has this ever happened to you? Like you're maybe you know somebody and they are going through this horrific situation, right? And you're on the outside, right? It's not happening to you, right? And because it's happening to them, they are graced for that situation, okay? But, you know, you look at someone like that that's going through just a really tough, horrible situation, a long situation, and you know what? You can think, I don't know how they're doing it. You're thinking that, like, I don't know how they do this day after day. And, well, that's because God didn't grace you, but God has graced them, and he is helping them through that. That's the grace of God, okay? So The interesting thing is when I look at somebody who's going through a really difficult time, you know, and I see what's going on and I'm like, that's really, that's quite disturbing to me to see how their life is, okay? But this is what's happening with Mary. This is what's happening with Mary. She had just found out for the very first time, right, that God wants her to have a child, like, through me, like, I don't even know what that means, she's probably thinking, okay? And think about it, guys. This had never happened before. This had never happened since then. And she's like, I'm going to get pregnant. And I'm going to get pregnant not even to the guy I'm engaged to. Like, wow, okay? Now, we know the story, right? That's part of our Christmas story. But think about back then. Mary is hearing that for the first time. Right? And you can imagine why she would be confused and disturbed, right? Right? Because really, there was not grace in her life right there where she said, oh, yippee, okay? But listen to what happens. Listen to what happens. Let's finish reading. We're going to pick up at verse 30. So we're at Luke chapter 1, and we're going to pick up at verse 30. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her. I got a hunch. I'd be afraid if this big angel showed up, right? I'm pretty sure we would. So don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him, the throne of his ancestors, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. And Mary asked the angel, but how? How's this going to happen? I'm a virgin. Personally, I think that's a good question, right? All right, now listen, keep reading verse 35. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Well, yeah, right, that makes everything okay, I'm thinking. Okay, the next part. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby will be born, will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And Mary said, but how is this going to happen? So this is what I found out, and I was thinking about this after I read this. You know, it's interesting. When God wants you to do something in life, God puts, like Mary, God wants you to do something in life. There are times until you tap into the grace of God, that whole situation just feels overwhelming, right? Now, some of you might be in these situations, and you have not tapped into the God, and it is just overwhelming, all right? But here's what can happen. Here's what can happen. When we get overwhelmed in a situation, disappointment comes in the next door. When we get disappointment comes in, like, I am so disappointed. Gosh, okay? So if you're taking notes, write this down. Disappointment will try to distract you from your divine appointment. Disappointments will try to distract you from your divine appointments. Then listen, guys, no matter who you are, moms, dad, young, old, you could be 25 or 95, no matter who you are, disappointments are going to come. It's just life, right? But, you know, I hear this a lot now. I am so disappointed I didn't get to go to my prom. Thank you, COVID-19. I am so disappointed I couldn't have a graduation ceremony. And for me, you could say, hey, I am so disappointed I couldn't get an airplane and fly out to see my grandbabies for their birthday. Wah, wah, wah. Okay? But listen, if you're not careful, that will distract you from God's divine appointment on where he wants you to go. All right? What he has for your life. So, the great thing is if you will tap into the grace of God, when you get into grace, no matter how you feel, grace is going to cause you to be able to face whatever you find yourself in. Praise God. So here's one more to write down. Ready? God's sufficiency makes up for our deficiency. God's sufficiency makes up for whatever deficiency you have or you feel like you have in your life today, right? God's sufficiency makes up for our deficiency. And here's a third one. God's strength is perfect for our weakness. Now, have you ever felt weak in a system situation? And I don't mean like physically I'm sick or something like that, but it's more like I feel like I am powerless in this situation. I just feel like, ugh, I can't do it. Guys, that's exactly when God says, hey, listen, you tap into my grace, you tap into my ability, you tap into my strength. That's where you're going to find me show up and help you. Praise God. And here's the last one. His strength finds its purpose in our weakness. God's strength finds its purpose in our weakness. Praise the Lord. So again, I thought what we'd do is talk a little bit about Mary, and we're going to have a little bit of fun with that. And I want us to go through her life and show you the different times or different places in her life when she was raising Jesus, and she needed to be graced for those certain times in her life. Mary needed to be graced in those certain seasons in her life. All right. And I just want to encourage you guys, I tell you what, wherever you are right now, you might need a certain grace in your life. right? Amen? Okay. But let me say it this way. You know, the grace that you need right now for a two-year-old, and you will need grace for two-year-olds, right, is not going to be the same grace you're going to need when your kid's 16. And all you people that have been through that, you're going, oh, yeah, baby, you're going to need grace. You're going to need a different kind of grace, okay? So wherever you are right now, God has grace for you, but it's not going to be the same certain grace 5 years from now, 10 years from now, okay? But here's the most important thing. If you do not tap in to God's grace for what he has for you at every level of your life, that journey is going to be frustrating. Just super frustrating. And I'm not just talking to moms. I'm talking to everybody, no matter who you are. God's grace, telling you guys, is going to look different now than in your life than maybe what it's going to look 5 years down the road. Praise God. So again, we're looking at Mary. And Mary found out she was going to be pregnant. And how many of you think she needed a little bit of grace right there? A little bit of grace for that situation, okay? Now, in Luke chapter 1, and you don't have to read that, just jot it down, you can look it up. But in Luke chapter 1, the Bible says that she and Joseph couldn't find a place to have this baby, right? She couldn't find a place to have this baby. And now, by the way, Mary is Jesus's mother, all right? Now, yes, he left heaven and he came to earth, right? And he's the son who came to earth, all righty? But he had a mom here on the earth, and that's Mary. Now, how many of you know Mary wasn't perfect, right? Okay. Now, the Bible doesn't say that she was some sinful woman or something like that. It doesn't say that Mary just was in a bad way every day. It doesn't say that. But I just got to thinking, right? If you're going from place to place to place to try to find a place to have a baby, you know, she might have looked at Joseph and said, hey, Joe, you better find me a place real soon or I'm going to have this baby on the side of the road, okay? Just maybe, all righty? Okay, so I believe she needed a certain kind of grace in a certain way because she was going to have this baby, all righty? So that's one. Here's my next one, all right? And it's just the next chapter, right? Luke chapter 2, just listen to this one, okay? Joseph and Mary lose Jesus, okay? How many of you have ever lost your kid in a store? Right? Well, one time we lost one of our kids at Six Flags. And I want to tell you, it was horrific, horrifying. It was horrible. And it only lasts for about 5 minutes, okay? But getting back to Mary and Joseph, okay? So Mary and Joseph are in a caravan and they're returning back to their home. And Jesus, though, they didn't know, Jesus had stayed in Jerusalem in the temple and he's talking to these religious guys, the teachers and stuff like that. And I guess Mary thought, well, you know, Jesus is probably with Joseph because they're traveling with this whole big caravan of people, all right? And Joseph's probably thinking, well, you know, Jesus is probably with Mary. Or they thought Jesus is with some of the relatives, right? Okay? But while they're traveling, one of them says to the other one, hey, you know where Jesus is? And they couldn't find Jesus, okay? Now, listen, in case you don't know, they didn't have cell phones back then. So they had to turn around and go back, right? Now, how many of you know that Mary needed a certain kind of grace for going through a thing like that? I'll tell you, she sure did. All right, here's another one. Just moving along, ready? This one's found in John chapter 2, and it's verses 1 through 12, and just, you can jot it down. But this is where Jesus is at this wedding feast, okay? Jesus is at the wedding feast, and his mom Mary is there, and they run out of wine. And Mary says, no problem, my son is here, right? Okay. Now, Jesus says this, okay? Now, I think you need a certain kind of grace when your kid says something like this. Ready? Jesus says, woman. He didn't say mom. He said woman, okay? Now, any of you that have ever had your kid talk to you like that, you probably said, Lord, give me grace or this kid is going to see stars, right? Okay. So what does Mary do? What does Mary do? Jesus, well, back up. Jesus says, woman, my time has not yet come. And Mary, you know what she does? She's like, I am graced for this situation. And you know what happened? She ignored her son. Just ignored him, okay? Now, moms, how many times you've ignored your kid? Like they just said something, you're like, We're just going to keep moving, right? Okay. So she says, hey, you guys just do whatever he says, all right? Now, you know, of course, you know the rest of the story. Jesus turns the water into wine, and it says this is the first recorded miracle Jesus did. And, you know, I got to thinking, Mary was a catalyst for the first miracle that Jesus did, right? All because of her simple words out of her mouth. Man, she was graced for that. Praise God. All right, moving along. Here's my next one. Jesus is preaching. And he's preaching in this house, and the house is just, they're all packed in like sardines. There's people around the front, and somebody comes to the door, and they yell in, hey, Jesus, your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside, okay? And Jesus would not acknowledge his own family, okay? How many of you know you need some grace right about then, okay? It just sort of reminded me, like, it's when your kids are little, like they're maybe in kindergarten or first grade, and you're driving them to school, and they're just saying, giving you hugs and kisses at the door, and you're like, God, I need some grace. I'm leaving my baby at the school, okay? But then, like 10 years later, they're older, and they're like, you're driving, and they're like, Ma, leave me down the street. I don't want anybody to see me, okay? And you're not doing that kiss thing, okay? So how many of you know you need grace there, right? Grace there, okay? And I love it when they're like, Dad, you're so embarrassing, okay? So it changes. Grace changes. It does. It changes. And you need a different kind of grace at different times of seasons. Praise God. Now, I didn't know this, and I went to church, you know, I grew up in church and stuff, but did you know that Mary had 5 sons? Yeah, she had kids after she had Jesus, and it's recorded, if you dig in your Bible, there's 5 sons counting Jesus listed, and the Bible says that Jesus had sisters, right? And we just read, his sisters were outside. Now, sisters is plural, so you got to have 2, all right? So if you take 5 plus 2, Mary had 7 kids she had to raise. You talk about you need some grace now even more, right? All right, so she needed a certain kind of grace for doing that. And guys, I grew up in my mom and dad had 6 kids. And actually, the first 2 were twins. I am one of them. They had a boy and a girl. And I'm sitting there thinking, quit. You got the ideal family, a boy and a girl. But nope, my parents had 6 kids all together. And I can tell you, I remember times when my mom's grace ran out. Now, my mom was sweet, and she was really funny, and she was really active and stuff. But there were times her grace ran out. It's like she starts throwing shoes at you. She's got swinging her wooden spoon. Those were some of the times her grace ran out. Okay, now back to our story. Ready? Jesus would not even acknowledge his mother or his brothers and sisters, okay? And he says, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? Why, there are all these other people in here, okay? And he goes on to explain that. But listen, guys, there's a certain grace Mary had to have when she heard that. Like, my son is a very special child, and I love him, all right? But she had to have a certain kind of grace when that went down, all righty? Now, here's our next one. How about on the way to the cross, okay? Now, can you imagine being a parent, a mother, all right? And what she felt like watching her son go to the cross, okay? Now, and even worse was her, it's found in John chapter 19, when she watches her son on the cross and dies, okay? Yeah, listen, that's pretty hard to do, to watch your child die, all righty? But I'm telling you, everybody, there is grace that has to be there when you're watching something like that. I believe there was grace on Mary's life when she watched that, all right? And there's grace that will help you go through that. And you know, sometimes we don't realize that there are people going through that don't know Jesus. They don't have God in their life, and they're going through situations that are so hard, okay? And it becomes so difficult. But listen, when you have God in your life, when you have Jesus as your Savior, he will give you grace, right? Amen, to go or to handle whatever situation you're in. He will grace you. Praise God. All right, now one more, and then we'll go on to something else. But think about, it's found in Luke chapter 24. Yep, Mary is at the resurrection, all right? Now, we've talked about all these different situations that where Mary was graced, all right, to be in that situation, okay? But I have to think, this one, it was the best one, right? This is the most amazing day in her world. Her son was resurrected from the dead. That is like, woo, that is just awesome, awesome. But guys, can I tell you that God will grace you for any situation that you are in? God will grace you, okay? And if you're here today and you're going through this really difficult situation, maybe it's you're having a tough time with your kids, God will grace you through that time. If you're going through a really difficult time with your spouse, God will grace you. If you're going through a tough time because 24/7 everybody's home, right? And they're eating you out of house and home, God will grace you in that season. He will do that, all right? God's grace is there for you. God's grace is for you. So I want to start wrapping up and turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. It's a scripture I probably use once a month. It's just got so many great juicy things in it. So turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Excuse me, verses 1 and 2. Okay. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise God. Guys, I believe with all my heart, the only way you can run your race, right, and do it successfully is when you look towards Jesus. When you look for Jesus and you ask him, all right? And I'm not saying go, you know, stop looking at Instagram. Stop looking at Facebook. That is not going to help you run your race successfully. But listen, when you keep your eyes on Jesus, you keep your eyes on the Word of God, he will help you run your race that he has you in, and he will help you get through your race successfully. He does and he will. Praise God. Let me read this out of another translation. This is called the New Living Version, and I'm just going to read the last part. Ready? It says, let us keep running the race that God has planned for you. Okay? Now, keep running the race that God has planned for you. Not keep looking at somebody else's race, okay? Not keep looking at somebody else, all right? But you keep running the race that God has planned for you, all right? And then here's the NIV version. It says, let us run with perseverance the race that God has marked out for you. All right, guys, God has marked out, mapped out a race for you. And, you know, I think back of my mom raising six kids, and yes, it was a different time, okay? And yeah, she was a stay-home mom, and you know, did you know that she cooked every meal? Every meal she was a cooking, okay? And we didn't have Hot Pockets back then. But you know what? My mom stayed in her lane, stayed in her race, and she really was happy in her life. She really was, okay? So if you're in the lane that God has placed you in, he will grace you to do whatever needs to be done in the lane, in the race that he has for you. Praise God. All right. So I want to close with this one more thing here. And this is what you should all be at the edge of your seat and all screaming and saying, okay, Pastor D, God's got grace, but how do I tap into it? How do I tap into God's grace? Well, turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. This is how you tap into God's grace. Ready? It says, let us boldly come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So he's saying, hey, let us come to the throne of grace. Guess what? And you are going to find help. And you're going to find mercy. And you're going to find, yeah, God's grace, okay? Well, grace is God's ability to empower you, to help you through whatever you're going through. Now, if you go to God's grace, his throne of grace, and you are complaining about everything, all I can say is, you have not tapped into God's grace. It's not going to work, okay? But how about you go to God's throne of grace and just simply praying to him and saying, God, you know what? You see everything that's going on. I need your help right now, God. I need your grace right now. And guess what? You have just tapped in to the grace of God the very moment you do that. Now, but if you're going in complaining, like, God, did you see these kids that I have? They're acting like a bunch of animals. And God, don't you see what's going on? Okay, guess what? He's up there in heaven going, all right, okay. That is not how you tap into God's grace. Guys, you tap into God's grace by acknowledging, God, I need help. And God, I am currently going through this situation. And I'm thanking you that you will grace me and empower me and strengthen me to walk through this. Praise God. And guys, this is not just for moms. If you're listening, if you've got a thing going on with your job, it's the same thing. It's so you should be going, God, you know, God, this job is a little frustrating right now. I mean, they're just making me work do this and this and this. But God, I am not complaining. Matter of fact, God, I am thanking you. I am going to change my attitude. I'm going to good attitude. And I'm asking you for help in this situation. I'm asking for your grace to strengthen me until I get through this in Jesus' name. I'm telling you what, that is a better way to pray. All right. So how about we just close up right now and I'm going to pray for everybody. Just be still for a second. Father God, I pray for everybody who's listening to this message today, Father. I pray that you will help us, that you will help us and grace us for every situation that we are going through today and then also tomorrow and the next day. Father, I pray for all the moms out there that you would grace them to help raise their kids. Father, that you would help all the dads be the best dad that they are called to be. And help us, Lord, grace us in our jobs, our marriages, in everything. And if you're a young person, Lord, I thank you that you grace them for the situation they're going through right now. And I thank you, Father, we give you our hearts and we ask you for your help. And we thank you for your grace in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. So just want to tell you guys, God's grace is for every situation. He has it for you. So, hey, have a great week again. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. See you next week. Ding, 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 ding. Little red.